Change is hard. Change is hard, especially when you're a little kid. Change can be really hard. When I was 7 years old, our family, we moved 3 times. I can't imagine what that was like for my parents, but for me, it wasn't a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. Well, you know, as soon as you get to kind of know one house and where everything is and how to navigate it in the middle of the night, you know, we'd move, right? And new houses can be really scary for a little kid. The house that I ended up kind of growing up in, it had this long, long, long hallway. It felt like it was twice as long as the church. It is here. It probably wasn't that long, right? But as a little kid, in the middle of the night, in a new place, with little side rooms all down the halls, it felt like the longest dark hallway there could be. And I thought, you know, I couldn't go down that hall, because I had never been that way before. Now, that wasn't the last scary hallway I ever found myself in. I can remember when John was born, our oldest, right, that first child. Maybe you can relate to this, and you hold that small, tiny, slimy baby, right? You say, what am I going to do? I've never been this way before. Or when I graduated college and I moved across the country, first job. And away from everything you knew, everyone you knew. And yeah, I'd never been that way before. Or when I got married. Oh. Right? It can be a long, dark hallway when you've never been that way before. Sooner change. Moments where once we take this step forward, we're leaving everything we knew and we're going to something we've never known before. Change, it has this kind of sneaky kind of way with us to breed kind of a doubt and uncertainty in us, to make us question everything. Because in change means that we have to have some loss. Even if it's change for the good, it means we're going to still lose something. We're going to lose what is familiar. We're going to lose what was comfortable, lose what we knew, even if we're moving into something even better for ourselves. In this sea of change, I am thankful for God's word to us from Joshua chapter 3. As the story opens there in Joshua, it's an entire generation of Israelites are standing there at the bank of the Jordan River. They have wandered in the desert. They never planted a garden. They never built a city. They never had to worry about an economy. They just wandered. Now, they knew how to break down that tabernacle, probably, and you know, nothing flat. And they knew how to collect manna every day and the quail at night. I mean, they had that all down. They knew what they were doing. But when it came to settling down, they had never been this way before. And so God offers them some instruction and says, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, move out, follow it, for you've never been this way before. What are you stepping out into that you've never been to before? Some way you've never been before. Maybe it's watching your child leave for college. Right? And now you're an empty nester. Maybe it's a financial setback, and you've never had a problem with that before. Now it's a way you've never been before. Or elderly parents succumbing to dementia. Maybe it's a divorce. You've come to faith and now your family has disowned you. You know, you've never been that way before. As a congregation, we are experiencing change and loss. Beloved pastor, right? Retiring. It's kind of it's different now. You're still getting used to a new pastor, right? It can be hard. It can be hard. Members of the church leave to be blessings to other congregations. We are in the midst of change that we had little to say about, and we had little warning about. We face a societal change because of the pandemic, and life will never be what it was before. There is no going back. We've left Egypt, and we're moving forward. Some of us are facing a pain that is so private and so painful that is only known to God. And so whatever your dark hallway is, we've never been this way before. In times of change, in times of upheaval in our lives, and as a society, and just as individuals, we will, it's the temptation is to settle for an easy answer that gives itself to us, right to us. We take what is easy, we take what the pundits tell us, we take a quick fix and fast security, something that goes down smooth. The temptation then is really to find things that the devil leaves for us that only lead to death. And so we say, well, let's not worry ourselves with any what if. You know, let's not think about that. Let's not think about what if I do get divorced? What if I never get married? What if I don't finish school? What if I can never pay back that student debt? What if I don't get to the college I want? What if the car breaks down? What if I get sick? What if my kid gets in trouble? All these, you know, what ifs, let's not think about them. Let's put that aside. And so I'll do anything to feel safe and secure even for the moment. Because I've just never been this way before. So when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, move out and follow it, for you have never been this way before. God is telling us that he is totally involved in our lives. He was totally involved in the lives of the Israelites, that they didn't need to go find him. They didn't need to go find a direction. That God redirects their focus on their journey away from uncertainty, away from doubt, and to move it to his consistency. God knows that we've never been this way before, but if we keep our eyes on him, he would show us the way. What about our change in life? Our changes in life, will we just be doing the things we've always done? Or are we just say, well, I just need to do more of what I did before? Maybe I just need to get a little better at what I've done before? Is the challenges that we face in our lives, is it just going to be solved by quick, easy fixes, and just doing the way we've always done things? The French, after World War I, they were decimated by the Germans. Okay, and they had resolved themselves that that would never happen again. Never did they ever want to experience that. So they mobilized their entire nation, right, to build a border, a fortress, between France and Germany. They built this wall that was of 55 million tons of concrete and steel. It would cost something like today, something like maybe $300 billion is what they kind of put into it for this 280-mile defensive border. It was the most technologically advanced defensive system built in the world up until that point. They built it to defend themselves against the most technologically advanced weapons that were there at the time, which was cavalry. So then when World War II erupted, this fortified border that was supposed to be France's salvation became a symbol of their failure. The leaders had focused on the last war, on the way things had been done before, and they were so unprepared for the new threat that was the fast-moving armored tanks. And so the Germans, they took their tanks and went around the wall, right? Went around it. They went through Belgium, through a dense forest that would have been impenetrable to a cavalry, but was nothing to a tank. They just had never been this way before. You know, in our seas of change, where is God? Where is God in our change? These unknowable moments, the future is just unknowable to us. These moments of stepping out into the unknown. These times that we find ourselves in, this is holy ground. It's holy ground. This time of life, it is holy ground. And so we can be like Moses, Joshua, those who also found themselves in times of great change. They recognized the time for what it was, and they took off their shoes, and they worshiped God. Let us be willing to not know everything. And so just worship. We worship. We worship God by following him, as we're saying, you know, follow him wherever he goes, right? We follow him wherever he goes, wherever he leads us. That God goes before us, even into times of radical change, in which we know nothing. God says, look to me because you know nothing. Look to me because you've just never been this way before. God knows that our long, dark hallway of life, it is not conquered by, oh, I'll be with you in spirit. He knows that it needs a very real presence. And so he comes to us not in a box covered with gold and carried by priests, but comes to us in the flesh, nailed to a cross. Jesus not only saw the Father face to face, but was the very face of God. Moses longed to see God's glory, and Jesus is the glory of God. He not only can show the power of God, but he himself is the power and the authority of God. And his authority is not one about improving upon the past. It is not just trying to make a slight tweak to how things were once done. His power is one of a disruptive change, unexpected as he goes to the cross, to show his power over everything that disconnects us from God, even death. And now he gives to us his Holy Spirit that would guide us and that would lead us. As we pay attention to his presence and follow his promptings, the Spirit leads us in seas of change, guiding us in ways we've never been before. And that drives us to our knees in prayers of mercy. At the beginning of our worship, we sing, Lord, have mercy. Right? Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on everything we set out to do. Have mercy on every footstep. Have mercy on every word that we speak. Have mercy on every idea that we have, every plan that we set forward. And why will God have mercy? Why is God going to ever have mercy on anything that we do? Why did God have mercy on the Israelites as they set out into the promised land? Was it because they were so great? Was it because they're so mighty? Was it because they're so worthy? No, it was simply because God did. That's why he did. Because he loved them. Because he loved them. And God will have mercy on you. He has mercy on you because he does. Because he loves you. See, God knows wherever you have been, all of our dark hallways that we have willingly gone into, he knows where we have been. And he has mercy on you because he does, to call you to follow him. To follow him through the cleansing blood and the resurrected joy of our Savior. Christ leads us, St. Paul says, in a triumphant procession. He leads us to be then this fragrant offering to the world, so that others might know him. And so we go a place we've never been before, new era. For sure, COVID has forever disrupted, just forever, unsettled us, and maybe we will never settle back down. We don't know. As pastors retire that we love and are beloved, and that will leave a hole. We'll leave a hole in our life. And they just are not going to just go away just because we say they should go away. And to ignore it is to be very foolish. It is to set us up for confusion and pain and hurt and disappointment. But now is the time then to be asking, acknowledging all of that, and not just putting it aside, but to acknowledge that and say, now what is God leading us into? What's God asking us to do today? We don't need to plan the ultimate future of the church. It's not for us. It's just today. What is God calling us today to do, to discern right now? Where is he leading us into places we've never been before? And we can be hopeful. We can be very hopeful. Because God is using this current moment to not only shape us and shape our own lives, but God is using this moment to shape the world for his purpose. It's just what God always does. It's how he always works. Because change is nothing new. Change is how it always is. Every era of human history always thinks that they're living through the most kind of discontinuous change that the world has ever experienced. And to be sure now, the dominance of technology and mass migration, global economy, where a war on one side of the world can affect us today. That's for sure a little different. And you know, COVID has been like gas on a fire that's already been burning. There's just no going back. There's no going back, but there's also no ignoring it. And so in this moment, creativity and innovation just in the world, it will emerge out of this time of change. And in our congregation, creativity, innovation, new ways of seeing things will emerge out of a requirement to change. And as we face complex situations that are hard to identify, and that there is no obvious solution, what that's going to require is it's going to require a collective effort. It requires all of us, all right? It's not just for a few, not just for some leaders, but it's going to require everything from all of us. And as challenging as it is, it's not a time to be fearful. It might seem daunting, but it's not to be fearful, because whatever dark hallway that we may face, Jesus leads us by his gospel that is proclaimed, in our baptisms remembered, and by his body and blood that he gives to us today. Christ always leads us in a triumphant procession. And now that's a way we've been before. Amen.